Good morning. It's great to be back with you. I was so happy that I've been praying that God would help us out here on the Saturdays.
Jeg er så glad for, jeg har bedt om Gud, han vil hjælpe os her på om lørdagen.
Because at 4:30 today, Wales play South Africa in the quarterfinals of the World Cup at rugby.
For klokken 4:30 i dag, der spiller Wales mod Sydafrika i kvartfinalen i rugby VM.
And when Hans Ole said, "Let's finish at 4," I said, "There is a God."
Og når Hans Ole siger, at vi slutter klokken 4, så siger, at der er en Gud.
Man, both. It's great. I've got one of my favorite subjects this morning we're going to be looking at.
Vi skal kigge på et af mine favoritemner den her morgen.
I'm going to be using this board a lot today, and we're going to be using our Bibles a lot.
Vi skal bruge den her tavle en del i dag, og vi skal bruge vores bibler en hel del i dag.
In your notes, you'll see a kind of diagram.
I jeres noter vil I se et diagram.
Kind of like two rainbows.
Som to buer.
So I am going to fill that in for us as we go through the day.
Og i løbet af dagen, der vil jeg udfylde det her diagram helt for jer, så I kan tegne det.
Even though the subject is called heaven and hell.
Selvom emnet hedder himmel og helvede.
And we're going to get very theological.
Så bliver det meget teologisk.
This what I'm going to do for you basically for the last 30 years. This has been the foundation of my prayer life. What I'm going to show you.
Det jeg skal vise jer i dag, det har været grundlaget for mit bønneliv de seneste 30 år.
It's not just about learning about heaven and hell.
Det handler ikke kun om at lære om himmel og helvede.
It's learning our position.
Det handler om at lære vores
in the universe.
I universet.
Between heaven, earth and hell.
Imellem himmel, jord og
and how we pray and how we fight and how we build.
Og hvordan vi beder og hvordan vi kæmper og hvordan vi bygger.
I've been involved in planting 20 churches so far.
Jeg har været med til at plante 20 kirker indtil videre.
In our ministries and this diagram I'm going to show you has been the foundation of every fight and battle in the heavenly realms that I've ever been involved in.
Og det diagram vi kommer til at tegne i dag, vil vise hver eneste kamp jeg har været en del af i det åndelige.
When planting churches in Wales, we come up against so many witches and wizards.
Når vi plantede kirker i Wales, så kom vi op mod hekse og troldkarle.
In Wales there's over 200,000 registered witches.
I Wales er der over 200,000 registrerede
hekse. It's the witchcraft capital of Europe, my country.
Det er Europas heksehovedstad.
And so when it came to planting churches, we were coming across them everywhere.
Så da vi begyndte at plante kirker i Wales, der mødte vi dem overalt.
So we had to learn to fight in the heavenly realms, because we don't fight against flesh and blood, Paul says.
Så vi var nødt til at lære at kæmpe i det åndelige, fordi vi kæmper ikke mod kød og blod, siger Paul.
And when I was 16, God began to give me visions of the heavenly realms in which I learned to fight in.
Og da jeg var 16, begyndte Gud at give mig visioner og syner om det himmelske. Eller himmelvælving og i det område jeg kæmpede.
And when it comes to growing our churches here today, it's the same thing.
Og når det kommer til at vi skal have vores kirke til at vokse her i dag, så handler det om det samme.
So for us to have that kind of larger picture understanding of the supernatural realm.
Så at vi får det større billede af hvad der sker i det åndelige.
We've got to look at the biblical foundation of what the Bible says about these things.
Vi skal se på det bibelske fundament for de her ting.
If you haven't studied the Bible properly,
hvis ikke du har studeret Bibelen grundigt,
I guarantee you have a wrong idea of heaven and hell.
Så jeg er næsten 100% sikker på, at du har det forkerte billede af himmel og helvede.
Most Christians have.
De fleste kristne har.
Because we've never actually been taught it today.
Fordi vi aldrig er blevet undervist om det.
We'd like to hear a little bit more about heaven.
Vi vil gerne høre lidt mere om himlen.
But we don't like to hear about hell.
Men vi vil helst ikke høre om helvede.
But we've got to know both.
Men vi er nødt til at kende begge.
Where our enemy comes from.
Hvor vores fjende kommer
where
fra.
Where we fight.
Hvor vi kæmper.
What are we fighting for?
Hvad kæmper vi for?
When we say saved, what are we getting people saved from?
Når vi siger frelst, hvad er det så at mennesker bliver frelst?
What is our motivation?
Hvad er vores motivation?
And we're going to be looking at all this today.
Og alt det skal vi se på i dag.
Because after the Christmas break, we will be looking at a lot of evangelism and that kind of stuff.
Fordi efter jul skal vi kigge en masse på evangelisering.
Genesis 1 verse 1.
Første Mosebog 1:1.
Now in your notes,
i jeres noter.
I am going to give you a huge amount of scriptures today, more than normal, because I need to prove to you what I'm saying is right.
Jeg kommer til at give jer en enorm mængde skriftsteder i dag, fordi jeg er nødt til at, mere end normalt, fordi jeg er nødt til at vise jer, at det jeg siger, det er rigtigt.
That what we are preaching and teaching today is biblical.
At det vi underviser i dag, det er bibelsk.
And I'm going to give you what I call chain references.
Og jeg kommer til at give jer korsreferencer.
That is, I'm going to give you one scripture that will lead to another, to another, to another, and throughout the Bible, we're going to build up this picture from what it says.
Giver et skrift, som kommer til at lede til det næste og det næste og det næste, og igennem hele Bibelen vil vi bygge op til det, vi skal sige i dag.
So it's going to be many scriptures. Some are in your notes, many are not, so you're going to have to write them down.
Mange af skriftstederne står allerede i jeres notater, men rigtig mange står ikke i jeres notater nu, så dem er I nødt til at skrive ned.
How many of you heard of the seven heavens?
Hvor mange af jer har hørt om de syv himle?
How many of you believe there are seven heavens?
Hvor mange af jer tror der er syv himle?
Actually, the seven heavens teaching is from the Quran. It's not from the Bible.
De syv himles undervisning er faktisk fra Koranen og ikke fra Bibelen.
So we have a few secret Muslims here today.
Der er et par hemmelige muslimer her i dag.
It's going to be good. It's going to be biblical, but it's going to change a lot of your thinking.
Det bliver godt, det bliver bibelsk, og det kommer til at ændre en hel del din tankegang.
Now the Quran isn't completely wrong when it talks about seven heavens.
Koranen er ikke totalt forkert, når den taler om syv himle.
There are seven realms of existence within the Bible.
Der er syv sfærer, når vi snakker om himlen i Bibelen.
But they're not all heaven.
Men det er ikke alle sammen himlen.
Some of them are hells.
Nogle af dem er helveder.
And that's what we're going to look at. Let's turn Genesis 1 verse 1. We get the first picture that goes against the traditional belief right in the first verse of the Bible.
First Mosebog 1:1. Allerede fra starten af Bibelen får vi det første billede, som går imod det traditionelle billede af det her.
Some Danish Bibles are right here, some other translations are wrong. So I'm going to give you the Hebrew and the Greek.
Nogle danske bibler har ret i deres oversættelse af det her vers, og andre er forkerte.
It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Der står der, i begyndelsen skabte Gud himlene og jorden.
Now in some of your Danish Bibles, it just says, God created heaven and earth.
I nogle af jeres bibler står der, at Gud skabte himlen.
The Hebrew word is shamain.
Det hebraiske ord er shamain.
Shama is heaven.
Shama er himmel.
In Hebrew, in is the plural, like putting an S on, or in Danish,
in er flertal.
Flertal tak. Shamain, okay? That's the Hebrew.
Det er det hebraiske ord, shamain.
In the English Bible, it says... Oh, sorry. You're going to have to be quick today.
Says you're thick.
Okay, yeah, you can't see through me. Shamain. That's the Greek word used there. Shama is heaven. But in is the plural. It's heavens.
Men det er flertal det her, så det er himle.
So the first verse in the Bible actually tells us there's more than one heaven because it's plural.
So the first.
That's Hebrew, yeah.
Så det første ord obviously, i Bibel, eller det første vers i Bibelen fortæller os faktisk, at der er flere himle.
I can't write the Hebrew alphabet, so that's it in English. Hebrew.
Jeg kan ikke skrive det hebraiske alfabet, så det er den engelske. Stavmål.
And even if I could write it, you would not be able to make sense of it.
Og selvom jeg kunne, så ville I ikke få noget ud af det.
God created the heavens.
Gud skabte himlene.
Now I'm going to give you a row of scriptures here. There are many more. Let's say the same thing.
Jeg kommer til at give en række skriftsteder nu, men der er mange flere, der siger det samme.
But just for the sake of time, we're only going to look at a few.
Men bare for tidens skyld, så kigger vi kun på nogle stykker.
But trust me, it's enough.
Men det er nok.
Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6.
2 Krøniker 6.
Yeah. And verse 18.
Vers 18.
Six Eden. It says, oh, that's First Chronicles. Annan Chronicle. But will God really dwell on earth with men? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you.
Bor Gud der hos menneskene på jorden? Nej, himlen og himlenes himle kan ikke rumme dig.
Now in the Hebrew,
i det hebraiske,
it's shamain again, the heavens.
Det er igen shamain, altså
but himmelen. Then the Hebrew uses another word, which some translate as the Danish version there, the heaven of heavens, but it literally gives us the picture of a hierarchy, a level, a number going up, the highest heaven.
Men efter det, så bruger det hebraiske sprog et andet ord om himlen, og nogle steder kan det oversættes med himlenes himle, som i den danske, men andre steder, der handler det om et hierarki, altså den højeste himmel.
And it tells us that there is a there are levels of heavens. One, two, three, four,
der er forskellige niveauer af himmel.
That whole term, the highest heaven,
og hele termen, den højeste himmel,
begins to draw a picture. If there is a highest, there's a lowest.
Som begynder at vise os et billede af, at hvis der er en højeste himmel, altså en øverste himmel, så må der også være en, der er lavest.
And if there's a highest heaven, there are heavens in between. So it gives us the picture of levels.
Så hvis der er en højeste himmel, så må der også være nogle himle indimellem, så der er forskellige niveauer.
But this Hebrew word here for highest is it's really difficult to translate.
Men det er et hebraisk ord for højest er svært at oversætte.
Because while it means highest,
fordi samtidig med det betyder højest,
it also means that they dwell together.
Så betyder det også, at de er en del af det samme.
It's very difficult to separate them.
Det er meget, du kan ikke dele det. Det kan ikke skilles ad.
To help us understand, I'm going to draw it in that first revelation of it, a level above a level above a level.
Men for forståelsens skyld, så kommer jeg til at tegne det som niveauer.
Moreover, it would be like an egg, you know, a circle within a circle within a circle within a circle.
Det er faktisk mere som et æg, så det er cirkler ind i cirkler. Der er en kerne inderst inde.
Yeah, but I can't draw that, so we're going to draw it in the highest. In that sense.
Så vi kommer til at tage det som højst.
So in your notes you'll see this.
Så i jeres noter vil I se det her.
That's what you've got, isn't it? Okay, good. So we begin to see suddenly there is a limit. There is a highest heaven.
Så vi kan se, at der er et højeste niveau, der er en højeste himmel.
And it's a safe to assume if God is supreme, God is in the highest place.
Og det er ret sikkert at antage, at hvis Gud han er højest, så er han også i den højeste himmel.
The writer of Chronicles here is alluding to God's omnipresence, saying the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you.
Det er Krønikebogens forfatter, han hentyder til her, det er Guds alsteds nærværenhed, så han er både i himlen og i himlenes himmel, eller i den højeste himmel.
Let's turn to Psalm 19, verse 1.
Salme 19, vers 1.
Verse 1, the heavens, Shamain again, there's more than one. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands.
Himlene fortæller Guds herlighed, altså Shamain igen. Velvindingen beretter om hans hænders værk.
Now it goes on to describe the day and the night and the sun and the moon and so on and so on.
Og så fortsætter med at beskrive dagen og natten og solen og månen og så videre.
That word heavens there is not Shamain.
Ordet himlene der er ikke Shamain.
It's firmament.
Det er firmament.
Firmament is an old word which literally means the physical sky, the physical heaven.
Firmament er et gammelt ord, som betyder den fysiske himmel.
That which is created.
Det der er skabt.
In the sense of what we see, the sun, the moon, the stars, altså the atmosphere.
Den himmel vi kan se, atmosfæren omkring os, solen og månen.
It's translated heaven, but it's only one of them.
Det er oversat med himlen, men det er faktisk kun en af dem.
And as you read through it, the psalmist describes this heaven.
Og som du læser igennem det her, så beskriver salmen den her himmel.
Verse 6, it writes about the sun, it rises at the one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other, nothing's hidden from its heat, and so on and so on.
Der står, at solen har sin opgang på den ene ende af himlen, og så har sin gang henover, og så sin nedgang i den anden ende.
So, and that scripture is three times in the Psalms and two other places in the Bible. It's the physical heaven that we can see.
Og det her skriftet, det findes tre steder i salmerne og to steder i øvrigt i Bibelen. Og det er den fysiske himmel, som vi kan se.
So we can quickly see that one of the heavens that God is talking about when he's created the heavens and the earth is the physical atmosphere and space.
Så vi kan meget hurtigt se, at den ene af de himle, som Bibelen snakker om, og som Gud har skabt, jamen det er den skabte himmel, det er den vi kan se.
The place where the sun rises and falls. Well, we know it doesn't do that. It's actually us spinning, but
det er der, hvor solen stiger op og går ned. Altså, det ved vi godt, den ikke gør. Vi ved godt, det er os, der drejer rundt, og den står stille, men...
But the Bible describes that one of these heavens is the physical realm.
Men Bibelen beskriver, at en af de her himler, det er det fysiske.
Where we can fly our spaceships.
Hvor vi kan flyve i vores måneraketter.
Where we can see with our telescopes.
Hvor vi kan se hen med vores teleskoper.
And the more technologically advanced we become, the more we begin to realize how vast this heaven is.
Jo mere teknologiske vi bliver, jo mere begynder vi at indse, hvor stort det her egentlig er.
And the more insignificantly small we are.
Og hvor uhyggeligt små vi egentlig er.
It's incredible about the galaxy after galaxy after galaxy we can see with our telescopes now.
Vi kan nu begynde at se galakse efter galakse efter galakse væk med vores teleskoper.
And it's mind-blowing.
Og det er utænkeligt.
But the psalmist says that the heavens speak of the glory of God.
Men der står, at Bibelen står der, at himlen taler om Guds herlighed.
Beautiful. Fantastisk. The heavens are beautiful.
Himlen er fantastisk.
And the Bible talks about the beauty of his holiness.
Og Bibelen taler om
the beauty of God's holiness.
Skønhed, tak. I hans hellighed.
And when I see some of the pictures of the stars,
og når jeg ser billeder af nogle af stjernerne,
it's like, wow, that's declaring my God.
Wow, det erklærer min Gud.
You know, we only know in shadow right now. When we see him face to face, how beautiful is it going to be?
Og vi kan kun se det som skygger lige nu, men prøv at se, når vi kommer
the
til at se ham.
The colors that shine out of God are amazing.
De farver, der stråler ud af Gud, er fantastiske.
But so we see quickly that there are more than one heavens, and one of these heavens is the place where we live, that we can see.
Så vi ser jo ret hurtigt, at der er flere himle, og en af dem, det er den himmel, vi kan se, der hvor vi bor.
Turn with me to Daniel chapter 10.
Gå med mig til Daniel 10.
Now Daniel begins to describe something incredible in the heavens.
Daniel begyndte, I found it. Someone took Daniel.
It's after Hezekiah.
Daniel begyndte at beskrive det fantastiske i himlen.
You can read the whole chapter. I'm just going to tell you what it says.
I kan læse hele kapitlet, men jeg kommer bare til at fortælle jer, hvad der står.
Daniel sets his mind to pray.
Daniel, han besluttede sig for at bede.
Because the prophecy of Jeremiah, he's not seen it fulfilled.
Fordi han har ikke set Jeremias profeti opfyldt endnu.
In chapter 9 you read about his whole seeking God.
I kapitel 9 læste du om hans søgen af Gud.
And his amazing prayer.
Og hans fantastiske bøn.
And in chapter 10 he gets the answer to his prayer.
Og i kapitel 10 får han svar på bønnen.
But the whole description of what goes on here paints a vivid picture of the supernatural realm of the heavens, at least.
Men hele svaret giver et vidunderligt billede af himlene.
It says the angel appears to Daniel after 3 weeks of praying and fasting.
Der står, at englen viser sig for Daniel efter 3 ugers bøn og faste.
And he says, Daniel, the very moment you said your prayer, God heard it in heaven and sent me out to you to answer you.
Så det øjeblik du begyndte din bøn, hørte Gud bønnen og sendte svaret afsted.
But between him leaving his heaven where God dwells,
men mellem at englen forlod himlen hvor Gud er,
and him arriving where Daniel is,
og han kom frem til hvor Daniel
in the physical heaven,
i det fysiske,
there was a massive fight.
Så var der en massiv kamp,
a battle,
en kamp,
where he says the prince of Greece and the prince of Persia hindered me and stopped me from coming to you.
Hvor der står, at prinsen af Grækenland og prinsen af Persien forhindrede mig i at komme til dig.
And what he's speaking about, this angel, he's not talking about the actual prince of Greece and Persia, the man.
Og han taler ikke, englen her taler ikke om den rent faktiske prins af Persien og den rent faktiske prins.
To understand it, we've got to go to Ephesians 6 and see what Paul says. He calls spiritual forces in the heavenly realms principalities.
For at forstå det her, så er vi nødt til at gå til Ephesians 6. Hvor Paulus han taler om
principalities.
Ja, fyrstedømmerne i det åndelige.
That somewhere in the another heaven between these two heavens is where demons or fallen angels are kept.
Så et eller andet sted i en af himlene imellem den øverste himmel og det her sted, så er der et sted hvor de faldne engle er.
And he says he leaves the throne room of God.
Og siger, han forlader Guds tronrum.
And between there and getting through to the heaven where Daniel is, there is some kind of heaven where there's a massive battle going on.
Så mellem han forlader tronrummet og Guds fader og kommer ned til jorden hvor Daniel er, så er der en himmel imellem hvor der er en massiv modstand.
In fact, he says I wasn't strong enough to get through.
Og der står rent faktisk, han siger, at jeg var ikke stærk nok til at komme.
I had to call Michael, the great archangel, to come and help me fight.
Jeg var nødt til at påkalde Michael, ærkeenglen, for at komme og kæmpe med mig.
And he says, after I've stopped speaking with you, I'm going to go back to continue that fight.
Og når jeg er færdig med at tale til dig nu, så vil jeg tage tilbage og kæmpe videre.
And so the angel, which we assume is Gabriel.
Så englen, som vi formoder er Gabriel.
Because other times in Daniel, Gabriel has appeared to Daniel.
Fordi andre gange i Daniels bog, så dukker Gabriel op.
We see that this between God's throne room and man's heaven, there is another realm where there's a battle going on.
Så vi ser, at imellem Guds tronrum og vores himmel, så er der et område, hvor der er en massiv kamp.
Are you with me so far?
Kan I følge mig så langt?
So far.
Så indtil nu.
We have three heavens.
Så har vi tre himle.
We have one where man lives that we can see.
En hvor menneskerne er, hvor den vi kan se.
We have one where God is.
Der er en hvor Gud er.
And we have one where these forces of evil are.
Og så har vi en hvor de her onde magter de er.
They're not here and they're not with God in heaven.
De er ikke her hos os og de er heller ikke ved Gud i himlen.
God threw them out of heaven, the Bible says.
Gud smed dem ud af himlen, står der i Bibelen.
Now it does say in Revelation that he threw them to the earth.
Der står i Åbenbaringen, han kastede dem til jorden.
But the Bible clearly teaches us that they are not physical beings like you and I. They are spiritual beings created to dwell in a spiritual realm.
Men Bibelen lærer os også, at det ikke er fysiske væsener som du og jeg, men det er åndelige væsener, og de er skabt til at være i et åndeligt sted.
So we need to find other scriptures that helps prove this hypothesis so far.
Så vi er nødt til at finde de skriftsteder, der beviser den her tese så langt.
Are you with me?
Er I med?
All right, let's go over to the New Testament now.
Så lad os hoppe til New Testament nu.
Luke chapter 23.
Lukas 23.
Vers 43. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise.
Jesus svarede ham, sandelig siger jeg dig, i dag skal du være med mig i paradiset.
Now of course this is Jesus on the cross and he's talking to the thief that's just given his life to him. What, all 5 minutes of it?
Det her det er selvfølgelig Jesus på korset og han taler til tyven som lige har givet sit liv til ham.
But
eller de sidste 5 minutter i hvert fald.
Jesus uses some words in the Greek here that's very specific.
Men han bruger nogle ord i det græske som er meget specifikke.
We've looked at Greek before and I've told you it's almost impossible to misunderstand the Greek language because it has so many precise words.
Når vi har kigget på det græske før, har jeg fortalt jer, at det er meget svært at misforstå det græske, fordi der er så mange præcise ord.
And it has many words to describe many different things.
Og det har mange ord til at beskrive mange.
Now here, Jesus used a word called paradise, which is paradisos.
Han bruger ordet paradisos.
In the rest of the Bible,
i resten af Bibelen,
this word is only ever used to describe one place.
Det bliver det her ord kun brugt til at beskrive et sted.
And we will look at the scriptures in a moment.
Og det kommer vi til at kigge på lige om lidt.
The throne room of God.
Guds tronrum.
The highest heaven.
Den højeste himmel.
It's only ever used to describe that. It has other words to describe what we would say, oh, you know, this beach is paradise.
Der findes andre ord, som vil beskrive som en strand, som er fantastisk, altså som en paradis strand.
You know, when you go to Wales, you'll go, ah, paradise.
Translating. Når du kommer til Wales, så vil du finde steder, du siger, wow, det her det er paradis.
That is not the same word as Jesus uses here.
Det er ikke det samme ord, som Jesus han bruger her.
The one word is describing a beautiful place on earth, paradisos.
Det ene ord beskriver et smukt sted på jorden, men paradiso
is a word that's very specific to describe the heaven where God dwells.
Et meget specifikt ord, som beskriver himlen, hvor Gud han er.
Jesus says to the thief, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise."
Han siger til røveren på korset, "I dag vil du være med mig i paradis."
He's not saying, "Today you and I are going to be transported to a beach in Fiji."
Han siger ikke, at i dag skal vi to til en strand på Fiji.
It's a specific place the Bible uses to describe.
Det er et specifikt sted, som Bibelen bruger til at beskrive.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
2. Korintherbrev 12.
Second Corinthians 12, verse 3.
Verse 3.
Paul is speaking and he says, "I know a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise, where he heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell."
Og jeg ved, om dette menneske, om det var i læme eller uden for læme, ved jeg ikke. Gud ved det. At blive rykket bort til paradiset og hørte uudsigelige ord, som intet menneske må udtale.
Paul was caught up to paradise.
Paulus han blev rykket op til paradiset.
It's the same word paradisos.
Det er det samme ord paradisos.
It's the same place where Jesus promised the thief he was going to go.
Det er det samme ord som Jesus han lovede tyven han skulle hen.
And we'll look at some other scriptures in a moment that prove it even more so.
Og vi kommer til at kigge på flere skriftsteder senere, som viser endnu mere.
But Paul says something very, very descriptive for us.
Men Paulus skriver og siger noget meget beskrivende for os.
Let me just find it. Verse 2.
Vers 2.
I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven.
Jeg kender et menneske i Kristus, som for 14 år siden står der ikke den danske.
What does it say?
Gør det. På 14 år siden skete det for et menneske, der tilhører Krist, der hører Krist til. Han blev løftet op og ført til den tredje himmel.
Okay. Good. But in the Greek, it's definitely figuratively number three, okay? It's the third heaven.
Men det står meget tydeligt, det er den tredje himmel.
Suddenly, we begin to see this picture begin to expand for us.
Pludselig begynder vi at se, at billedet det åbner sig for os.
Where Paul was taken,
hvor Paulus kom hen,
where the thief was taken,
hvor tyven skulle hen,
where paradise is,
hvor paradiset er,
is also the third heaven.
Er det også den tredje himmel?
So if there's a third heaven, it means there's at least three.
Så hvis der er en tredje himmel, så er der mindst tre.
But that actually fits with Daniel 10 also.
Men det passer også godt sammen med Daniel 10.
The angel left the throne of God. There was something in the middle, and then he came to the earth.
At englen forlod Guds trone, så var der noget i midten, og så kom han til jorden.
You with me so far?
Amen.
So we know there's at least three.
So vi ved der er tre.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Let's carry on.
Vi fortsætter.
Ephesians 4.
Efeserne 4.
Now, it would be much easier.
Så det ville være meget enklere.
If God had written the Bible in subject form.
Hvis Gud havde skrevet Bibelen i emneform.
So that in these five chapters, everything God has to say on grace is all there.
Så i de her fem kapitler står alting om nåde.
But he didn't do it that way.
Men så gjorde han det ikke.
These scriptures are spread throughout the whole Bible.
De her skrifter, de er spredt over hele Bibelen.
And that's the beauty of Bible study.
Og det er det skønne ved Bibelen.
To follow the chain references that God has, the breadcrumbs that God has put throughout the Bible.
At følge brødkrummerne igennem hele Bibelen, som Gud har lagt ud for os.
And you're lucky you have people like us to gather them together and to squeeze them and give you a bread roll.
Og I skal være glade for, at I har nogen som os, der finder alle stykkerne og pusler det hele sammen og giver jer faktisk et rent helt stykke brød.
And that's what we're doing here. Ephesians 4 verse 10.
Efeserne 4:10.
Now this begins to paint it even better.
Nu begynder det at male det endnu mere.
He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe.
Han som steg ned er den samme som er steget højt op over alle himlene for at fylde alt.
Now Paul is talking about Jesus.
Paulus taler her om Jesus.
The whole thing about at his death he went down into to hell to preach preach to the lost in hell.
At han ved sin død tog ned til helvede for at prædike for de fortabte.
But when he ascended, he went high through the to the highest heaven.
Men da han igen stod op, der stod han op til den højeste himmel.
And we know when he went through the heavens.
Han tog igennem himlene.
He sat at the right hand of the Father.
Han sad ved Guds faders højre hånd.
And that's where Jesus still is today.
Og der er Jesus stadig i dag.
From the time he went up till the time he comes back, it's called Christ's session.
For den tid han steg op til den tid han kommer tilbage, er det vi kalder
session. Yeah, you know when we say when a court starts, it's in session. A court set.
Yeah.
I don't know what that Danish word is.
Yes.
It's a period of time.
Det er kristen tidsperiode.
Where certain things are allowed to happen.
Der er en periode i tid, hvor visse ting får lov til at ske.
A session.
En session.
This is a teaching session.
Det er en undervisningssession.
Is that a session?
Yeah.
But in Christ, this period of time between his going away and coming back is called Christ's session, where he builds the church.
Så der er en Kristus session imellem han står sted til himmel og han kommer tilbage, hvor han bygger sin kirke.
Amen. The point I'm making is this.
I forstår hvad jeg mener.
He ascended to the highest heaven.
Han tog op til den højeste himmel.
And sat at the right hand of the Father.
Og sad ved Guds faders højre hånd.
What did Paul say was the throne of God?
Hvad sagde Paulus der var Guds trone?
Paradise.
Paradiso.
Which was the third heaven.
Den tredje himmel.
Which is the place where when the thief on the cross died, he also went there.
Altså var der hvor der tyven han døde, der kom han også dertil.
Now it's starting to make sense.
Nu begynder det at give mening det hele.
But let's have a look at a few more. Hebrews chapter 4.
Hebræerne 4.
And verse 14.
Vers 14.
Remember, write these down. These are not in your notes.
De står ikke i jeres notat, så skynd jer at skrive dem ned alle sammen.
Hebrews 4:14.
Hebræerne 4:14.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess.
Da vi nu har en stor ypperste præst, som er steget op igennem himlene, Jesus Guds søn, så lad os holde fast ved den bekendelse.
When we look at that, Jesus, it tells us Jesus has gone to the highest heaven. He sat at the right hand of the Father.
Så Jesus han går igennem himlene, der står der, at han går igennem himlene og sidder i den højeste himmel ved Guds højre hånd.
And in verse 16,
og i vers 16,
it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence.
Lad os da frimodigt træde frem for nådens trone.
What's the great throne of grace? It's Jesus' throne where he sat at the right hand of our Father.
Hvad er nådens trone? Jamen det er Jesu trone, hvor han sidder ved Guds højre hånd.
It's the place where Paul was taken.
Det var der Paulus kom hen.
It's paradise.
Det er paradiset.
It's where the thief was and is.
Det er der hvor tyven blev ført hen.
And it's where every saint that dies before Jesus comes again, it goes to be with Jesus.
Og hver eneste hellige som dør før han kommer tilbage, kommer til at være sammen med ham.
We will look in a moment at Revelation because it speaks a lot about this place.
Vi kommer til at kigge på Åbenbaringsbogen bagefter, der står en masse om det her sted.
So we are beginning to see.
Så vi begynder at se.
There is a highest heaven,
at der er en højeste himmel,
where God sits and Jesus sits,
hvor Jesus er og Gud er,
where the angels of course live,
hvor englene lever,
where the saints that have died in Christ go to be in spirit,
hvor de hellige der er gået foran os er i ånden.
It's paradise.
Det er paradiset.
And it's called the third heaven.
Og det hedder den tredje himmel.
So if the highest heaven is called the third heaven, there can only be three.
Så hvis den højeste himmel hedder den tredje himmel, så kan der kun være tre himle.
One.
En.
Two.
To.
Three.
Tre.
Let's have a look at another scripture.
Lad os kigge på endnu skriftet.
Revelation.
Åbenbaringsbogen.
Now, if this is true, it'll be everywhere in the Bible.
Hvis det er sandt, så vil det være i hele Bibelen.
Well, luckily it is.
Og heldigvis så er det det.
I am missing a Revelation scripture. It's in Revelation chapter 1 or 2. Let me just find it for you. There it is. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7.
Kapitel 2 og vers 7.
He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
Den der har ører skal høre, hvad ånden siger til menigheden. 2:7. Den der sejrer vil jeg give at spise af livets træ, som står i Guds paradis.
It's that same word, paradisos.
Det er det samme ord, paradisos.
Where Paul was taken.
Der var Paulus var hen.
Where the thief was taken by Jesus. So again, it backs it up that this place, there's also something else there.
Så det her, det bakker til teorien op, at der er noget mere der.
The tree of life.
Livets træ.
Now where did we read the tree of life was?
Hvor læste vi at livets træ var?
In Eden.
I Edens have.
Now Eden, when Eden is described paradise, that's a different word again.
Når Eden beskrives som paradis, så er det et andet ord igen.
But the tree of life was in Eden.
Men livets træ var i Eden.
And sometime between the fall of man.
Og på et eller andet tidspunkt mellem menneskets fald.
And John's revelation.
Og Johannes åbenbaring.
God has taken that tree of life from the earth and it's now in the paradise of God.
Der har Gud taget livets træ og flyttet det fra paradisets have.
Ezekiel chapter, I think it's 47, I can't remember.
Jeg mener det er Ezekiel 47.
He talks about God taking the tree of life to heaven.
Der står der om at Gud han flytter livets træ til himlen.
Just something for you to think about. Why would God take the tree of life from man to heaven? Because if we had access to it, sin would last forever.
Hvorfor fjerner Gud livets træ fra jorden? Jamen fordi hvis vi havde tilgang til livets træ, så ville synden vare evigt.
Which God cannot have.
Og det kan Gud ikke have.
What? Ezekiel 47, I think it is, which talks about the river of coming out from the throne of God. I can't remember.
Storm, tronen fra, eller floden
is it
47?
Yes. Okay, good. I'm just remembering. So that's Revelation. Turn me to Revelation 14.
Gå med mig til åbenbaringsbogen kapitel 14.
Now this seals it.
Det her, det besegler det.
Åbenbaringsbogen
kapitel 14.
Verse 6. Let me just find it. Then I saw another angel flying in mid air.
Og jeg så endnu en engel flyve midt oppe under himlen.
Now that word there, the Greek word in the NIV is translated as mid air.
I NIV, altså den engelske oversættelse, står der i midt i luften.
In the King James version, it's called middle heaven.
I King James, altså den ældre oversættelse, står der midt jorden.
The Greek word.
Det græske ord
is mesuranema.
Mesuranema.
There it is.
Står der.
Let me get out your way. Mesuranema.
Mesuranema.
Literally means.
Det betyder rent faktisk.
Middle heaven.
Midt i himlen.
Eller middle.
Midt himlen.
Mid, yeah.
Den midterste
himlen. It's a descriptive. It's the description. The adjective of the place.
Det er et beskrivelse, altså adjektivt for stedet.
It describes that there is a middle heaven somewhere.
Det beskriver, at der er en midt himmel et eller andet sted.
And there was an angel flying through it.
Og der var en engel, der fløj igennem den.
We have paradisos.
Vi har paradisos.
Which is the third heaven, the highest heaven, where God is.
That's right. Den tredje himmel, himlen, hvor Gud er.
We know at the right hand.
Ved Guds højre hånd.
You're right, so I'll do it here. Is Jesus.
Ved Guds højre hånd, der sidder Jesus.
We know that that's where the angels are.
Her er englene oppe.
And the saints.
Og de hellige.
That have died.
Som er døde.
And Revelation talks about the elders around the throne and the seraphim and the cherubim, and we'll look at that a bit later.
Og åbenbaringen taler om de ældste og serafinerne og keruberne.
The Bible talks about a middle heaven.
Bibelen taler også om en midterste himmel.
And it talks about the physical heaven.
Og den fysiske himmel.
And it talks about that there are at least three, because Paul was taken to the third heaven.
Og det beskriver at i hvert fald tre, for Paulus blev taget til den tredje himmel.
In fact, when we look at this biblically, this is how the Bible describes the makeup of the heavenly realms.
Det er faktisk sådan i Bibelen, det beskriver at det hele er tegnet.
If the highest is the third heaven, there can only be three.
Hvis den højeste er den tredje, så kan der kun være tre.
We know that the first heaven.
Vi ved at den første himmel.
Is where we are.
Er der hvor vi er.
And it's the sun, moon, and the stars.
Og der er solen, månen og stjernerne.
With the birdies flying.
Med fuglene.
You can fill in your diagram now.
I kan udfylde diagrammet nu.
That's the first heaven.
Det er den første himmel.
That declares the glory of God.
Som erklærer Guds herlighed.
With the sun, the moon, and the stars declare the work of His hands.
Hvor solen, månen og stjernerne erklærer hans hænders værk.
We know that this paradisos, this is the third heaven, the throne of God, where we are told to come up to.
Vi ved, at paradisos er den tredje himmel, hvor vi bliver bedt om at komme hen.
Where we can seek the Lord.
Hvor vi kan søge Guds ansigt.
Where we can boldly come in with confidence.
Hvor vi frimodigt kan gå ind foran hans trone.
Jesus is there.
Jesus er der.
The angels are there.
Englen er der.
The saints that are a great cloud of witnesses are there watching us.
De hellige, altså den store sky af hellige, som er gået foran os, er der.
And the Bible says that there is a middle heaven.
Og så står der i Bibelen, at der er en midterste himmel.
But Daniel chapter 10 tells us that is where, when Gabriel left here to come to Daniel here, there was something in the way.
Men som Daniel 10 fortæller, så da englen skulle fra Gud til ham på jorden, så var der noget i vejen. Der
and this is where Satan.
Og det der Satan.
And the fallen angels.
Og de faldne engle.
And the demons.
Og dæmonerne.
This is where they exist.
Det er der de eksisterer.
Now I've drawn it in a hierarchical structure.
At tegne det en hierarkisk struktur.
Because the Bible does talk about higher and higher heavens.
Fordi Bibelen taler om en højere og en højeste himmel.
But the problem is that word also means they are compacted together.
Men det ord betyder også, at de er pakket sammen i ét.
They are different realms.
De er forskellige sfærer.
Unless the Holy Spirit takes us, we can only be in this realm.
Og mindre Helligånden forflytter os, så kan vi kun være i denne sfære.
Or unless another spirit takes us,
eller en andens ånd flytter os,
we can come to this realm.
Så kan vi komme til det her sted.
Unfortunately,
heldigvis,
people can also come to this realm.
Uheldigvis, så kan mennesker også komme til det her sted.
Ja, uheldigvis, ikke heldigvis, uheldigvis. You get it? You see it?
Kan I se det?
That's the biblical picture of the heavenly realm.
Det er det bibelske billede af det, at de
Let me just now. I'm just going to draw a few things within this realm here.
I den her sfære hernede,
we know it has a beginning and it has an end.
Så ved vi, at der er en start og en slut.
We know the heavens have a beginning because God created them.
Vi ved, at himlene har en begyndelse.
But the Bible also says in Revelation 20 that he will destroy them.
Fordi Gud skabte dem, men vi ved også, at det står i Åbenbaringsbogen, han vil ødelægge dem.
And he'll make new heavens and new earth.
Og han vil skabe en ny himmel og en ny jord.
So this whole of God's creation is going to be melted away.
Så hele Guds
with fire.
Så hele Guds skabelse her vil smeltes væk i ild.
And a new one's going to be created again.
Og en ny en vil blive skabt igen.
Interesting to think.
Interessant at tænke.
In Revelation chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1.
I første Mosebog 1.
The word God created, the Hebrew word created.
Det græske ord for skabte, altså Gud skabte.
Can also be translated recreated.
Kan også oversættes til genskabte.
It more means recreated than created.
Det betyder faktisk nærmere genskabte end skabte.
Which is really weird.
Hvilket er underligt.
Why would God need to recreate?
Hvorfor skulle Gud genskabe?
That gives birth to a theory we call the pre-Adamic era.
Det
before Adam
era. Det er liv til en idé, som vi kalder en før vor tids eller før vor jords æra.
Is that what it's called in Danish?
No idea.
Okay. Before Adam.
Ja, en før Adam tid.
And that's a whole different study which I'm not going to get into today because that's something completely different.
Studie, som vi slet ikke skal gå ind i dag,
but very interesting.
Men meget interessant.
But that word in the Greek, whilst in the Hebrew it's a bit vague, in the Greek it's very specific. Recreation.
Men det er lidt vagt i det græske, men i det hebraiske er det meget, meget specifikt.
God will recreate the heavens and the earth when he destroys them with fire.
Gud vil genskabe, når han har ødelagt dem med.
And that's where we're going to live.
Og der skal vi bo.
Now then, we have day one.
Så nu har dag et.
And we have the last day.
Og vi har den sidste dag.
Okay, I won't write that in there. We have the fall of man back here.
Vi har menneskets fald her tilbage.
Right in the middle of time.
Lige midt i tiden.
God did something.
Der gjorde Gud noget.
Everything before this event.
Alt før den hændelse.
Is called BC.
Er kaldt før Kristus.
Everything after that event is called AD.
Er kaldt efter Kristus.
It's the cross.
Det er et kors.
Now whether I don't get into numbers and time. I've studied a lot of it, whether it's 6,000 years, whether it's 10,000 years, whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
Jeg skal ikke komme ind på tider og numre, men jeg har studeret en del, men om det er 6,000 år eller 10,000 år, det er egentlig lidt ligegyldigt.
The Bible says exactly at the right time.
Bibelen siger, at på det absolut rigtige tidspunkt.
That while we were still sinners,
at mens vi stadig var syndere,
and enemies of God,
og Guds fjender,
in Romans it says it, Christ died for us.
Kristus døde for os.
And what the cross did,
og det korset gjorde,
when the Bible talks about Jesus went through the heavens,
når der står at Bibelen, i Bibelen, at Jesus gik igennem himlene,
I like the authorized version, the King James, the old version of the English translation, because it says Jesus rent the heavens.
He what?
Rent. It's an old word which means he cut through. He didn't just go okay. through. He sliced. He
den,
cut through.
Den gamle autoriserede King James version siger, at Gud han skar igennem, eller Jesus han skar igennem himlene.
And what he did,
og det han gjorde,
at the cross when he cried it is finished,
ved korset, han sagde, det er fuldbragt.
He cut a path.
Så åbner han en vej.
He split the heavens.
Han splittede himlene.
He made a way back to the Father.
Han skabte en vej tilbage til faderen.
Which was evident with many physical things at the time of the cross.
Som blev bevist ved mange fysiske ting ved korset.
The power of the cross, of his cry, it is finished. The earth shook.
Kraften i korset, og da han råbte, er fuldbragt.
It says rocks exploded.
Klipper revnede, eksploderede.
People that were dead came out and rose from the dead.
Døde stod tilbage, stod op igen.
The sky at midday went black.
Himlen blev sort ved midt på dagen.
Thunder and lightning.
Torden og lyn.
In fact, it says even the Roman soldiers who are hard, non-believing men.
Og selv de romer, står der, selv de romer soldater, som var hårde, ikke troende mennesker.
When they saw how Jesus died.
Da de så, hvordan Jesus døde.
Remember, these people had crucified hundreds of, they knew how men would die.
De her mennesker, de har korsfæstet hundredvis af mennesker, de ved, hvordan mennesker dør.
But this man was different the way he died.
Den her mand, han var anderledes.
The leader of them, the centurion, said, surely he must be the son of God.
Centurion, altså lederen, sagde, sandeligt, han må have været Guds søn.
Something massive happened at this point.
Der skete noget så stort på det tidspunkt.
The temple curtain was torn from top to bottom.
Forhænget i templet blev revet fra øverst til nederst.
Two things were massively symbolized to the earth.
To ting blev massivt symboliseret på jorden.
Jesus cut a path up, God cut a path down.
Gud skar en vej op og Jesus skar en vej op og Gud skar en vej ned.
Both ways.
Begge veje.
The heavens were rent.
Himlene var delt.
You see, because of sin.
På grund af synd,
there was a massive barrier between us and God.
Så var der en barriere mellem os og Gud.
And now a path has been made.
Og du bliver skåret en vej.
That even though we could be living and we, and this is the timeline, we are right here.
Og vi er herhenne på tidslinjen.
There's only one way to the Father.
Der er kun én vej til faderen.
Many people are building ladders.
Mange mennesker forsøger at bygge stiger.
Trying to get some kind of spiritual sense and reality.
Og forsøger at få en åndelig forståelse og en åndelig virkelighed.
Witchcraft, Satanism, cults, false religions.
Satanister, heksekraft, kulte, falske religioner.
Many of them are very spiritually powerful.
Mange er åndeligt kraftfulde.
But outside of Jesus.
Men uden for Jesus.
They can only get here.
Så kan de kun komme hertil.
They reach a spiritual realm.
De når en åndelig sfære.
My sister is a witch that has power.
Min søster er heks, og hun har kræfter.
When I met the head witch of Wales.
Da jeg mødte overheksen i Wales.
He was extremely powerful.
Så var han ekstrem kraftfuld.
That when we cast the demons out of him, he was levitating, he was floating in midair.
Og da vi kastede dæmonerne ud af ham, der svævede han midt i luften.
He fell onto his back and then he raised up off the ground, roughly a meter, so I had all of his head like this.
Han faldt til jorden, og så steg han fra et gulv af, og hang cirka en meter over gulvet.
It was a real funny experience.
Det var en meget, meget spændende oplevelse.
All the Christians that were at the front of the meeting where it happened,
alle de kristne, som sad forrest i mødet,
ran to the back, scared.
Hvor det skete, de løb ned bag.
All the unsaved young people on the back rows, they all ran to the front, excited.
Og alle de ufrelste, der sad nede bag, de løb frem for at se, hvad der skete.
They never seen anything like it. One of the guys, he was sat and he was putting his hand like, there's no strings.
Og en af dem, der sad der, han stak sin hånd frem og sagde, der er ingenting, der holder.
It was funny and scary at the same time.
Det var sjovt og skræmmende på samme tid.
Because he was screaming.
Fordi han skreg.
And there was that huge presence of evil.
Og der var en meget, meget stærk nærvær af ondskab.
And then God came and boom, smashed that chain on his life.
Og Gud han kom og knuste den kæde på hans liv.
His name was Robert. He gave his life to Jesus. He fell to the ground.
Hans navn var Robert. Han gav sit liv til Jesus, og han faldt til jorden.
And just shouted, "I'm free."
Og han råbte, "Jeg er fri."
Later on, he told us the reason he came to church that night.
Senere fortalte han også, at grunden til han kom til kirke
the
den aften.
The demon wanted to challenge the church to see if they had any power.
At dæmonen ønskede at udfordre kirken for at se om den havde noget kraft.
He wanted to go because he wanted to get free.
Og han ønskede selv at gå, fordi han ønskede at blive fri.
He was tormented by that demon spirit.
Han blev plaget af den her dæmoniske ånd.
And so when he came and he saw that God's power is mightier than his power.
Og da han kom, der så han at Guds kraft er stærkere end hans kraft.
He was so overjoyed. I'm free, he cried.
Han blev så ovenudlykkelig. Jeg er fri, råbte
han. It was powerful.
Det var kraftfuldt.
It was disappointing.
Det var skuffende.
That the Christians ran to the back. They should have been the ones there praying with us.
At de kristne løb ned bag, for de skulle være deroppe foran og bede sammen med os.
The chickens.
Kyllinger.
But with religion.
Men med religion.
A man-made philosophy.
En menneskeskabt filosofi.
We build ladders.
Så skaber vi, bygger vi stiger.
Thinking we get to God.
Og tror vi kan nå til Gud.
But we don't.
Men det kommer vi aldrig.
In 2 Corinthians 10 or 12, I think it's 10.
I 2. Korinther 10 eller 12.
Paul says Satan masquerades as an angel of light.
Så der sagde han forklæder som en lysets engel.
He pretends to be from God.
Han lader som han er fra.
To deceive us.
For at snøre os.
To lead us astray.
For at lede os vild.
To think we have God, but we don't.
Jeg tror, at vi har Gud, men det har vi ikke.
You talk to anybody from any other religion, their religion is right and their religion is from God. They are deceived.
Hvis du taler med hvem som helst anden, som har en anden tro end os, så vil de sige, at deres religion er fra Gud.
But how do we know we are not received? Received, deceived.
Hvordan ved vi, at vi ikke er blevet?
Because the Bible is very clear.
Fordi
the Bible is very clear.
Fordi Bibelen er meget, meget tydelig.
Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Jesus siger, "Jeg er sandheden, vejen."
No one can come to the Father.
Ingen kan komme til Faderen.
Except through me.
Uden igennem mig.
It is the only way to God.
Det er den eneste vej til Gud.
It is the only safe passage through this heaven.
Det er den eneste sikre vej igennem denne himmel.
Are you all with me so far?
Er I med så langt?
Any questions?
Nogle spørgsmål?
Ja.
No.
Okay. Let's have a 5-minute break.
Der er en 5-minutters pause.
And then we'll carry on.
Så fortsætter vi.
If you have any questions, you think of it, write them down, and we'll try and answer them as at question times.
Hvis I får nogle spørgsmål sådan i løbet af dagen, så skriv dem ned, så tager vi dem efterhånden som eller til sidst på på dagen.
Ja. Yeah. It cannot get up here night. Oh yeah, they can they got. Oh yeah. Ooh, yeah. They can they got. Spåkone or hekse or de har only kraft. Yeah. Mange filosofi tæt det op. Stoffer kan også tæt det op. Når jeg underviste i en skole det her, så var det to drenge. Vi har været det, vi har set den. Og jeg sagde, hvordan har du set den? De sagde, når vi tager LSD og stoffer, så går vi derop. Ja, stoffer kan også gøre det. Faktisk, en af de græske ord i åbenbaring, I need to do this in English now. One of the Greek words in Revelation,
en af de græske ord i åbenbaringsbogen,
that talks about wrong spiritual experiences, is pharmaceutica.
Taler om forkerte åndelige oplevelser er pharmaceutica.
Where we actually get the word pharmaceuticals, drugs.
Derfor vi ordet stoffer eller.
The Greek word is pharmaceutica.
Mediciner fra.
Some drugs can take us to spiritual realms.
Nogle stoffer vil tage dig ind i de åndelige virkeligheder.
It's funny, you know, that when I've been ill with gallstones and I take morphine.
Det er sjovt, når jeg har været syg med gallesten og taget
morfin. I have a great time with the Lord.
Så har det fantastisk med Herren.
I don't know why that is.
Jeg ved ikke hvorfor.
But drugs do something to us.
Men stoffer gør noget ved os.
Kaffe. Ja, det gør kaffe også.